Hello and welcome to the Thursday, January 30th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. To start out with, I did write a little diary about debugging domain keys or DKIM, spending a lot of time recently sort of shoring up some of our own email infrastructure, and this was, you know, like many of our diaries, just born out of having to do it myself and doing some debugging here. I came across a couple of tricks I'm just sharing in this diary. But in other news, we do have an interesting story here that kind of reminds me of something happening about a year ago with Amazon and Apple. In this case, a user lost his pretty nice Twitter handle. The Twitter handle was just the letter N, so it was one of those pretty rare one-letter Twitter handles, and apparently people had offered him up to $50,000 just for the Twitter handle. Sadly, he no longer owns it, at least he no longer has control over it. How the attacker gained access is a pretty interesting story because it sort of shows how social engineering and combining different small bits and pieces of information can lead to a compromise. In this case, it started out all with PayPal. The attacker was able to convince PayPal to release the last four digits of the victim's credit card number. Remember, that's what in the attack a year ago Amazon was used for. And again, the last four digits of a credit card are not necessarily secret. They're not protected by a PCI and such. These last four digits then were used to reset a password with GoDaddy. In addition, the attacker also got access to the victim's Facebook account. Now, all of this hacking did not actually give the attacker access to the Twitter account. The Twitter account was still under the possession, under control of the victim, but then the attacker played a simple extortion game, just essentially threatening to keep the domains and essentially that person's life hostage unless he hands over the Twitter account, at which point the victim then relented and passed on the username and password for the Twitter account. So the real problem here in this case was GoDaddy's failure to recognize that the last four digits are not really supposed to be used to authenticate a user. The only reason you're supposed to or you're allowed to hold on to these last four digits is just to make sure that you can tell the user what credit card they used for a particular transaction, but that's really it. I checked myself, and one thing I found actually that GoDaddy does offer some two-factor authentication. It's the typical send me an SMS message type of two-factor authentication. You can enable that on your account. I'm not sure how this will work with password resets if you call them up. For customer supports, they do use a simple four-digit PIN. And I'm not sure what additional questions they may ask if you call them up for support. Lately, in particular, password reset functions have been used to bypass two-factor authentication because, in particular, for some of these free mass accounts, like, let's say, Twitter and such, where the provider doesn't really want to spend a lot of money on tech support, usually there is a way to do a password reset after you have lost access to your token, to your second factor, and that can then be used to reset the password without actually engaging the second factor. But not all exploits use social engineering. We still have our sort of standard vulnerabilities out there. And I talked a couple days ago about an Oracle Reports vulnerability. I just want to remind you that's still out there. There are now public exploits available. Interesting video also about how to use Shodan to actually find vulnerable systems. And according to the original author of the blog post that I mentioned, there is also a Metasploit module under development. So certainly make sure that you have the workarounds in place. And I believe at least for Oracle 11G, there is a patch available. So make sure you have that patch applied. And in other vulnerabilities, there is an arbitrary code execution vulnerability that was just patched in MediaWiki. MediaWiki is very popular and has been used in a number of sort of also public-facing sites. The vulnerability is, however, only exploitable if you do allow uploading PDF or déjà vu files. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.